see. Amen. Just appreciate the Lord. Appreciate all he does for us. Appreciate each one of you. And I really enjoyed Bible study last night. Very, very sweet spirit. And very special time for us. So I really enjoyed that. And, you know, as mentioned Wednesday night, you know, I talked about being in unity and how precious it is that when brethren dwell together in unity, the scripture says that it's like the anointing oil that ran down Aaron's beard and down into his garments. And the prophet said that oil preserved him so he could come into the presence of God. And he goes on to say that like the dew of Hermon and the dew that fell on Zion, for there the Lord commanded his blessings. And so if I could just encourage everybody to understand that when you dwell together in unity together, and God can come into that. God can come into the midst of that. And when you see a people, a family, a church go through the trials and troubles heaped upon top of heaps, like we've seen lately, you know God is moving.
Yeah.
You know, and we can expect that. And so I really looking forward to that. And I want to tell you something that happened just a few minutes ago. And, you know, I am just your brother, and I'm not trying to claim anything, but I'll just tell you what happens. And so I sat back there in the office a while ago meditating on the things. And, you know, forgive me, I'm a big baby. But I saw something flash before my eyes, and it was a right hand, and it had a pair of handcuffs in it. It pitched them into what looked like a trash can. Now, I didn't think that. That wasn't a thought I had. That I saw that. Not these eyes, but I saw it. You know, you just have to understand. It flashed before me. And so, that's my prayer. That's my prayer. Because God's got people all over the world that still need deliverance.
Yes.
That's right.
And that applies to you even if you don't know that you're a son of God yet.
That's right.
Even if you don't know, God's got a special time for you till you find out that you belong to him.
That's right.
And so we just really appreciate, I'll just share that with you for what it was, and we'll just leave it at that. But I have expectations.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
I do.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles now. We're going to begin reading Isaiah chapter 55. You know, along with that is a person who's in jail, in prison. They know they're in prison. But they try to make the best out of it. So even prisoners in prison, they will have good days and bad days, and they'll try to, you know, and
sure.
Begin down inside they know, and they have a longing to be free.
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage anyone to be listening to this, you know, don't settle for just trying to make the best of it.
Yeah.
God said you can be free.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
He set you free. Isaiah chapter 55, we'll begin reading at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. But let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
Amen. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That means that no matter, you try to figure it out, but God knows what's going on.
That's right. Right.
For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of a thorn shall come. Our lives are just thick with thorns sometimes. You know, the troubles and trials. But listen to what the Lord is saying. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. And then we want to go to Psalms chapter 46, verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen. He will be exalted in your life. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, sometimes, Lord, you make it to where we are maybe a little more heightened in our sense of understanding of the blessed place that we stand in, Lord, because of your gospel and what you're doing in the midst of your people. Lord, we don't want to count it as a light thing. We don't want it to become common to us. We just say, God, just have your way, Lord. Just make your word come to pass. Our cry is that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we love you, Lord. We pray that you bless each one that's here. I know that many are trying to recover from sicknesses or even dealing with sicknesses right now. And we just want to also, Lord, remember Sister Mary, who's been sick, running a fever last night. We just ask, God, that you touch her. Make her well. We love you, Lord. We commit this service now in your hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of this is strange, maybe a strange title this morning, but all roads lead to home. All roads lead to home. And this came, from some meditation, thinking that over the week, this past week, and then Brother Daniel and I were talking on the phone Friday night, and there was something he said, and you know how the Lord does. He just starts bringing this stuff, and it don't make any difference where it just comes,
right.
Whoever it is. He just does that. And so some of our discussion there Friday night when we were fellowshipping over the phone, and then yesterday in prayer, I was praying, and I said something to the Lord, and he must have liked it because he sent it back to me. You just have to understand what I mean. And so I think and what I said was, Lord, that all things lead to you.
Amen.
Right? And he sent it back. And so that's where this comes from. All roads lead to home. And so we really want to just see what the Lord has this morning. So, you know, so much of the time in the history of Israel did not understand what they were going through. They didn't understand why so many battles, and I could say we're the same way. We wonder why the battles. Sometimes, I know the scripture says that, thinking not strange when all these things come upon you.
Right.
And yet we do think it's strange. Sometimes we'll ask ourselves, what's happened? What's going on? What have we done? And so, you know, Israel was the same way. They just had so many battles. Every time it looked like a time of peace would roll in, well, here would come another army or something would happen, you know. And we're like that. We have these. We long for times of peace, where reprieve, you know. Well, when you get a time of reprieve, just know the enemy's coming.
Yeah.
Right? Until we have our body changed. That's the way it is. And so life just goes through cycles. It's like that. And
yeah.
And those cycles, it's those times, of peace and times of reprieve, you know, that we draw in strength, and he fortifies us and gets us ready because it's coming again. It's the same way. We rest each night so we can go the next day. It's all cycles, and it's all God's program. And we want to recognize the cycle and work with the cycles as they're moving. And so Israel was like that too, and most of the time maybe they didn't understand what was going on. But the reason why it was that way is because they were God's choice. Right. Anytime God's doing something, wherever he's going to try and work, you know the devil's going to try and come and be in the midst of that. Even if you don't understand. Like I said a while ago, even if you don't understand, you don't know that you're a son of God. It hasn't been revealed to you. God is working in your life.
Yeah, right.
You just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
And Satan is working to try and stop that.
Sure.
Just
right.
Even if you don't know, see?
Yeah.
But it's still true. God is working there. And it's that way because if God's got his hand on your life and God wants to save a people and your name's on that book of Lamb's Book of Life, then you know Satan's going to be trying to do everything he can to
right.
stop that. That's
right.
his program.
Yeah.
To do anything and everything opposite of what God intends
right.
to do.
Right.
And so we understand that. But God has said, even in all this, not where we don't understand things like that, and Israel didn't understand, God says, hey, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are much higher than your thoughts. And so what he's telling you is that you may not understand what's going on. You may not know why this is happening, where it's going. And it may look to you like it's going to wind up as a heap in the trash pile of your life. But you have to understand God says, my ways are higher. I know what's going on.
Right.
I know exactly how I want
right.
to get you where I want you to be. And at the end, you'll go out in joy. You'll go out and when you come out, the whole earth is going to break forth into praise in that.
Yep.
Trees clapping
right.
their hands
right.
because I've got a people that I'm working with, and as they go through this period of time not understanding,
right.
just know and just trust and rest that to know that I am God and my ways are higher. And so we will have that time in Isaiah 55:12. We read where we can go in a time of joy and peace and the whole thing will break forth. So the Lord said there in that scripture there, he said, my word shall not return unto me void. And one of the things I want to point out there is that his word will come back. What he speaks is coming. And I'll put it this way. It's like an investment. God has spoken and he expects that to come back.
Right?
Right? He's looking for that. He's looking for his word to come to pass in our lives. And he has proclaimed that what he has purposed is going to come back, and it will not come back void. You know what void is?
Right.
It's not going to come back empty. It's not going to come back unfulfilled.
Right.
It's going to come back exactly the way he intended it.
Yeah.
It's like after all the things that Satan had throughout history, everything Satan tries to do in our lives to disrupt us, and when it's all over and done with, we're still there. We're right back where God said in the first place, and Satan has failed. Right, so God is declaring that, saying that his word shall not come back void. And so, but when it does come back, it will be fully manifested, fully vindicated.
Right.
So we know the concept of eternity, how the prophet talked about eternity, and time was just a little bitty thing that dropped out of eternity and it goes right back. And so when something comes from eternity into time, it has to go back.
Right?
Right? Jesus said, I came here and I'm going back. And he says, we're not of this world. So we're going to return back to where we come from. That's why we can say that, you know, that where you come from tells you where you're going.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? This Bible's the only book that'll tell you where you come from, why you're here, where you're going. And so if you can see where you come from, you can see who you are, then you know what your destination is.
Right?
Right.
If you know what family you're in, then you understand. You understand what
right.
goes with that family. And so when something comes from eternity, it must go back to eternity.
Right.
And like I said, say God is it's like in heaven, the Lord's like, you want to challenge me? Okay. Give it your best shot. And it would be like taking Arnold Schwarzenegger or somebody like that and letting one of these little ones go up against it. It just mopped the floor with it.
Yeah.
So that after it's all over with and done with it, God can say, see, I had this all, there's not a thing, you can't lift up and do one thing to outdo what God's program is.
Yeah,
and
right.
so that's why God could write it in a book.
Mm-hmm.
to write their names in a book so that when it's all over and done with, those names on that book will still be there.
Yeah.
And say, Satan, see, you saw it, and you couldn't even lift your finger against it because it still comes to pass. My word will not come back empty. It will fulfill. And so, because of that, we realize that as the elect of God, it really doesn't matter what happens in time. Because you come from eternity, you're going back to eternity.
Yeah,
what God has declared is going to come to pass.
Right.
We're just down here for a time of testing and so forth. And I won't say, you know, it does matter how you live. That's not what I'm trying to say. But to the elect, you know, I said last night, we are so privileged to know some things now in the message that we wouldn't know and the rest of the world doesn't know. And, you know, that they can't know. There's a certain amount of truth that you have to embrace before you can learn more truth.
Right.
And so God hides these things from the wise and prudent. And if they won't accept certain things in God's program, as he unfolds it with ministries to come along in this day, and they just won't accept it, they're cut off. They can't go on to the deeper, greater things with God because they stop right there.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but because you can move forward on into the things of God, then God will let you see things and know things and experience things that you can't have any other way. And it's that way in life, going to first grade, second grade, all the way up. You know, you just have to, you have to keep progressing.
Yeah.
Right? So we all have to keep progressing in our lives like that. And so because of us, where we are, we get to have an insight to look at these things and realize that there is an elect bride. And because of that elect bride, she'll be at the end what she was at the beginning, and what happens here in the middle really don't matter because God's done wrapped it all up in his program, and she's going to be there.
Right.
Right? And no matter what Satan threw at her, and no matter what her failures and all that was, she's going to be there. And it's this becomes so prevalent when the prophet comes along and said, look, he told Adam and Eve, if you do this, then I'll do that. And they failed. So he come to Abraham, who was the father of our faith, and said, hey, I've already done it. Had nothing to do. I've done it. Right? And that's the gospel we believe. God has already done it. Yeah, we're going through these things right now. We're fighting. We go up and have the ups and downs. And we're learning and we're gaining. But all roads lead to Christ. All roads of life are going to lead to our eternal home. That's all there is to it. Amen. And so, for God's elect. And I know I've heard it before, and I've, you know, we've talked about, I think it's a neat thing, and to the world it's a neat thing. On, you know, I don't know if Brother Daniel said this the other day at the funeral, the beginning date and the ending date, well, what matters is the dash, you know, and that's, we understand that. But to the elect, we have a higher understanding. We know what that dash is.
Yeah, right.
And that dash does not change what we were before. It's, we will be at the end what we were to begin with.
Right.
I am so glad that God wrap this all up into something he has accomplished, because if I had my part in there, it wouldn't work.
Right.
I'd fail.
Right.
Amen. And so because of that, we expect the enemy, we expect him to make attempts and try to destroy and hinder.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter what he tries to do. God's word will still stand.
Right.
And so because of that, we should see that in our lives. We'll see the enemy come. We'll see phases. We'll see wave after wave. We'll see times where we seem to be walking really good in the Lord, and sometimes we fall flat on our face. Or is that just me? We'll see those times. But every time when it's all over, when you look back on it and you say, you know what? Everything Satan tried to put on me, and even if I fell for it, it did no good. I'm still God's child.
That's right.
I'm still closer to God after the trial than I was before.
That's right.
Right? And so no matter what happens, just give it a little while, and after it, you'll look back and you'll say, praise God, I know even more who I am. I know more where my destination is. I know more about it. Amen. And so we should see that, and we do see that in our lives. Amen.
Yeah,
and so what I want to say, when we read there in Psalms chapter 46 and verse 8 there, where he said, come and see the works of the Lord.
Right.
And what I want to say is, if you want to see God, just look at a Christian's life.
That's right.
You're going to see all kinds of things, but you're going to see God in their life because God cannot be defeated. His word cannot fail. God, me personally, when he spoke to Logos, I think there was a portion of that Logos that was Vicky Black and Daniel Black and the rest of us, all of us. There was a portion in there that went out from his mind, right, out into his word, yep, and that right there will not come back void.
Right?
Right? It will accomplish. That family of God will be with him because, yeah, that's just the way he did it. And so with all that, you see each person's life, you know that if they are one of God's elect children, it makes no difference what's happening in their, just watch their life. You're going to see them prosper in God and move closer and closer. They may not have miracles around them, but if you look, you're seeing miracles.
Yeah. Right.
Right?
Right.
I had a guy tell me one time, he said, he was taking the stance, there's no God or whatever. And I said, I'm trying to witness to him and so forth. And he said, my dad, he died with cancer as a young man, like in his 30s or something like this. He died, and he said, we were going to church and we were trying, and God, where's the miracle at? And the Lord really just dropped it in my heart. And I said to him, I said, the miracle of it was is that your dad wasn't serving God, and all of a sudden he got right with God. Might have died with cancer, but I said, before that happened, he got right with God. There was your miracle. And I felt impressed of the Lord to tell him that. See, we're always trying to, because remember, his ways is higher than our ways.
Right.
We always know it's got to be this, it's got to be that, it's got to be something else. Yeah. If we look at it that way, then people that were believers that had gone on wouldn't have gone on because we'd still be thinking, But God knows when and how. He's right. Got a time for everything. And so if you want to see God, just look at a believer's life.
Yeah.
Right.
And Brother Ram preached the sermons, "Let Us See God." I don't know how many times he preached it, but let us see God, because man wants to see God. He wants, he talked about God in the universe and God in nature, and then God in his people.
Yeah.
Right? God in his universe, in his Bible, in nature. It's God, you can see him everywhere. But then he brought it down to God in his people.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And so I am so thankful for that because like I said years ago, as a sinner, and Richard Charnico, we worked together. He saw me as a sinner. He saw the my lifestyle, and just a few years ago, he was there in a hospital in Tulsa, trying to recover, and the Lord brought him through cancer. I went there and was praying with him, and he made this statement. If Mary was here and she remembers, she vouched for this because she was there. But he said, Tony, he said, anybody that knew you before knows something happened to you.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Something happened.
Yeah.
Something can happen to you too if you'll just surrender.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. So if you want to see God, look at a believer. And once in a while you'll see miraculous things. The healings and all kinds of things that happen and like we see around us. Brother, sister, God does great things around us all the time.
Amen.
Somehow or another, because of our walk and our, we miss it or somehow it just doesn't come out. But God is doing great, miraculous things among his people. He always has and he always will.
Right.
Amen? We believe that. And so we want to just rejoice in those things. And so I want to read a quote, and this comes from what I believe was a quote Brother Daniel was saying the other night on the phone. So if it wasn't, Brother, I'm sorry, but it's good anyway to go with what I wanted to share with you this morning. I felt the Lord leading this direction. And so Brother Branham says, and he's talking about the Hebrew children, three Hebrew children. He says, Satan could not take them. He said he could not drown Noah in the flood until the purpose of God had been finished. He could not burn up the Hebrew children until the purpose of God had been finished. He could not kill Job with boils and troubles until the purpose of God had been finished. And neither could the lions eat Daniel until God's purpose had been finished. And neither could death and old age take Abraham until the purpose of God had been finished. And neither can it take you, or can it take me, until the purpose of God in our life is finished.
Amen.
So we gather from these, from there, we gather from this, right?
Right.
Consolation.
Amen.
I, to me, I don't know, but to me, the word console, consolation.
Yes.
So Brother Rem says, when you look at that and you realize that, none of Satan can't do anything until God's done.
Right?
Then when you look at that and you take consolation of knowing that the hand of God is on my life. And I'll keep going back to it. Even if you don't know if you're a son of God, it's not been revealed to you. You're still wondering. These things still apply. If your name's on that book, God is dealing with your life. He's speaking to you.
Right.
And listen to it, because the scripture said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Because if he stops dealing with you, you can't come.
That's right.
So if he's dealing with you, reciprocate him some.
Amen.
If you maybe you don't have enough to get up and go and cry at the altar again or whatever, but if God is dealing with you, accept that and deal with that. Accept some of what he's saying, and it'll take you a long ways.
Amen.
Amen. Every one of us started at that place.
That's right.
Where we had to come to the grips of who we were and ourselves as a sinner. And that there was grace, and we begin to accept it, and we begin to grow, and God begin to do greater things. And every one of us comes that way. It works.
Yeah, right. It works.
I'm an example. Brother Daniel's an example. Yeah. Perhaps we might be the best examples in the whole building. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But it works. So we take consolation of knowing that. And so here's the part I think Brother Daniel was talking about. And so he said, and why does God let troubles come? God harnesses trouble, puts bits in its mouth, and makes it obey him. Is that the one you're talking about, brother? Makes it obey him. And those troubles bring us into a closer fellowship with God. Did you hear that? The troubles bring us into closer fellowship with God. Brothers and sisters, no wonder we feel the spirit of unity among us, because look what the church has come through.
Yes.
When these troubles, when it's over with, you look back on it, and the state that we're in after the trial is that we're closer to God and we're closer to one another.
That's right.
When you're going through the battle, it don't seem like that. But you see, it's a cycle of God, and so we're so thankful.
Yes.
You're closer to fellowship with God. He said there had been no rainbow until the flood came. Rainbow means covenant.
Right.
We all want to see the covenant, right? But you can't have a covenant in your life that you can see and put faith in until you've gone through the flood.
Yeah,
this is what he's saying. There could be no rainbow until the flood came. But after Noah was pressed into that condition that he was in to float for 40 days and 40 nights in a storm, and that little ark pitching up and down in the water, it was after the flood was over that he saw the rainbow for his first time. The covenant of hope, the covenant of promise. After he went through the tribulation, then he saw the promise. Amen? Lord help us. Lord help us to see, after we've gone through something, the promise. And we do. That's what happens. That's his program. We were talking about how, I think last night, about, oh, we'd just love to go deep sea fishing or whatever. And I said, I don't know if I can handle all that. You know, I might get seasick. Could you imagine once they got in that boat and that ark, if one or all of them got seasick, where were they going to go? You know, that's what I was thinking, man. And so, that's when he saw the promise, and Brother Bram says, that's the way you see the promise after you have gone through the tribulation. Amen. So God lets trouble come in. He just takes a hold of it, puts a bit in its mouth, puts a harness on it, and says, you're going to work my will.
That's right.
This road that you're putting on these my people and making them travel, that road is leading them home.
Right.
Leading them to my original word
That's right.
in their lives. Amen. And so it's leading you home. It's leading you to the place that you had before the mind of God, in the mind of God before. And I want to read out of the Smyrna Church Age, in the Church Age book, about the thoughts of God. And we've read these before, but I pray that it'll solidify something with you right now. And Brother Ben says, now watch carefully and see this. Before there was ever a speck of stardust, before God was God, and he said, God is an object of adoration, and no one was there to worship him, so he, at that time, was only potentially God. And he was known only as eternal spirit. The bride was already in his mind. Yes, she was. She was existing in his thoughts. I believe that. So Brother Brown said, and what about the thoughts of God? They are eternal, are they not?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
The eternal thoughts of God. Let me ask you something. Are the thoughts of God eternal? If you can see this, you will see many great things. God is unchangeable. Let's just nail all these down. God is unchangeable.
Right. Right.
Both in essence and in behavior.
Amen.
And who he is
right.
And how he acts.
Right.
Right.
Right. He is unchangeable. We have studied that and proven that already. God is infinite in his abilities. So, therefore, he as God must be omniscient.
Right.
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 He's all powerful, all knowledge. If he is omniscient, then he is not now learning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Lay them all down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He is not now learning.
No.
Nor is he taking counsel even of himself. He didn't even have to ask himself. Mm-hmm. Right? He's not taking counsel of himself. Nor is he at any time adding to his knowledge.
Right. Right.
Amen. If he can add to his knowledge, then he is not omniscient. The best that we can say is that sometime he will be, but that is not scriptural. He is omniscient.
Yeah.
Right.
All right? In his omniscience, infinite knowledge under wisdom.
Right.
And in there is where his bride was.
Amen.
Right.
In there. He has never had a new thought about anything. Because all of his thoughts, he has always had and always will have. Yeah. Can't learn, can't forget. He's always had, always will have. And he knows the end from the beginning because he's God.
Right.
Thus, the thoughts of God are eternal.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
Here's what he said. They are real.
Right.
Right.
Right? When we want to see something real, we're looking for something tangible in this realm, in flesh realm.
Yeah.
But in much higher realms than this, in the mind of God, in his eternal thoughts, is a much greater realm than this, and there's things that exist there that you don't see here, right? And so Brother Bram is trying to get us to understand that that's more real than this is. That in his mind, and in that realm, they are real. He says they are not simply like a man with a blueprint that he has drawn up in which one day he will be translated into substance and form. But they are already real and eternal and a part of God. So, yeah, just kind of soak that in and understand what he's trying to tell us there. That you know, we take a man that would say, well, I'm going to build a house or whatever. And so he sits down and he draws up the blueprints. And you can say, now that's his thoughts of what a house will be. But it's just a blueprint. Right? It doesn't happen yet. It hasn't existed yet. So then he would have to go and he would have to build that. But you have to understand, since God's word can't fail, his thoughts are eternal, thoughts transferred into word, there's nothing that fails about that. The most purest, rock-solid form there'll ever be is already there.
Yeah, right.
In the mind of God.
Yeah,
right. We're just down here in our flesh. We're just coming to that.
Yeah.
Right? So those thoughts of the bride, they're you know, and their thoughts of you. Mm-hmm. They're there, eternal, more real than this realm. Amen.
Amen.
So when we come to realize these things, when we begin to these things begin to soak in, then you begin to, as the scripture said, be still and know that I'm God.
Amen.
When you're going through things and you realize I'm God's. Mm-hmm. You know, he can't, and Satan can't throw something at me that God doesn't allow.
Right.
Then we begin to be still and know that he is God. And he said so. Mm-hmm. When all these armies and everything's coming at you, just be still.
That's right.
My ways are higher. I know what I'm just sit still. The prophet talked about people coming up in the prayer line and you just try to get them to be still. Just sit still for a minute so God can deal with you. Oh, I can't. I got other things to do. I can't. And these people were Pentecostals, and they were speaking in tongues, and he was trying to get them quiet down. Here they are speaking in tongues, and he can't get them quiet enough, and they go away and miss their healing because he couldn't get them quiet to let the Lord deal with them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right? There's a reason why Satan has made this generation where we are so consumed with things.
Right.
Because God wants to speak to a mind that is pulled aside to spend time with him.
Right.
And Satan's got something there just to keep you constantly connected and so forth. And so you begin to realize that he wants you to be still and just stand still. Let me say it this way. Stand still and watch what God will do.
Yeah, right.
Because for his children, he's constantly working and doing. And he's going to bring you through the trials, and you're going to come out on top in a higher. So just stand still while you go through it. Praise him. Trust him.
That's right.
And watch what happens. You're going to see God crush your enemies one by one.
Right.
Cycle after cycle, day, week, year, whatever. Yeah. You're going to see that happen because you belong to the Most High.
Amen.
That's the truth. Amen. So it's kind of like Brother Tim's quote last night. It's not Brother Tim's quote, but he mentioned it last night as a quote from Brother Branham. And so, in looking at the unseen, Brother Branham says, when a man once catches that vision of the invisible God and know that he's always present.
Right.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Once you catch it, know that God's always present in your life.
Right.
There is something that stabilizes that man's thinking. It stabilizes his actions. Right? If it's real, it'll stabilize his actions too.
Yeah.
And in the time of distress and trouble, it'll still make him look upward above the things that are happening around him because he's looking at the unseen yet by promise. And God told Abraham, I will show you. You go out. And Abraham had to go out to a land that he didn't even know. He was just on the promise of God. God's going to show me one day where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
And we're doing the same thing. Right?
Right.
As I quoted, it doth not yet appear, right, what we should be. We're sons of God, but it doesn't appear yet. But we know, right, that when he appears, and every man that has this hope in himself purifieth himself,
yeah.
Right? That's our hope. We see God moving in our lives, and our hope is we're walking and we're letting this word purify us and clean us and shape us up because we know that when that time comes, we'll see him as he is because we're going to be like him.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
We're going to be the living word just like he's the living word.
That's right.
Right? So, I really appreciated that quote that Brother Daniel shared Friday night and also Brother Tim had. You know, we've probably read and heard these things many times, but you know, that sometimes they stand out bright, timely, in a timely fashion. So when it looks like there's no hope and it looks like nothing can get worse, it just can't get any worse. Well, don't ever say that because it can, right? But when it looks like that, God is about to do something,
right?
Because he can never be defeated, and he is involved in your life. Even Job sitting there, and it looked like he had nothing left. God was still there, had his hand on his life, had an outcome that he was bringing him to. So God is there, in your life. And so we just want to always remember, God has a great big wheel. Great big wheel that turns, and it turns slow, but it finally comes. It finally gets there.
Right.
And God will bring these things around, these promises around to you, just like he has said. He will bring them to this. And it's constantly moving closer and closer and closer, because God can never be defeated. Amen. So if God can never be defeated, and we were in his mind and he spoke us, then we can't be defeated either, can we?
No.
We go through trials, but we can't be defeated.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Cannot be defeated. So no matter what it looks like, no matter what it looks like, God has our back, as we would say in this world today. We would have that phrase and say that God has your back. Amen. And so that's the kind of gospel I want to believe in.
Yep, right.
I don't, you know, we're not just making stuff up. This is not our own thoughts. This is something God has brought to us. This is something he's done. And a Bible that has been down through the ages. And even nowadays, science, more and more, they're pointing right back and saying this was right. This was right. They're doing it more and more and more. Of course, scientists are just like anybody else. They're biased, right? Those that are biased, they're not going to look and they're not going to see and they're not going to do studies. But those who aren't biased, who truly want to know, there's many testimonies of many of them out there that went at things with an open mind and found out there's no way this could happen without there being an intelligence behind it.
Right.
Of course, we know that as believers. Amen?
Right.
We know that. When you go through something, I said the other day, whenever the night before I wound up going to ER, I was sitting there, my wife was gone, they were helping Leah move, and I've been sitting there all that afternoon and evening, you know, feeling the way I was, and Brother Colby Martin texted me, "Hey brother, how you doing? We're praying for you."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We see those things happen.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Obedience is very important.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, something like that, just say, you know what, Lord, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You moved on that man's heart to say something in a timely fashion. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know? Amen. And so, I just want to encourage you this morning that if you're a believer, you're not going to fail.
No.
Right.
You go through trials. It's just like, you know, well, a person being saved, are they saved? Well, you know, you can go through all kinds of things. You can speak in tongues and still be lost. You can go through all kinds of emotions and all that. It's something much deeper to know whether a person's actually got an experience with God or not. And one of the best ways, you could just talk to them.
Yeah.
Just talk to them about the things of God. And you'll find out pretty quick if they've really got something down inside, because it's a different life. If they don't have the life of Christ, then it's a different life, and you'll see it pushed back. Right?
Yeah, right.
But brother, sister, when it's there, the fellowship rolls.
Yeah.
Right. That reciprocation, you feel it. You know it. It's something that's much greater than us. It's the hand of the Lord.
Yeah.
So,
right.
I want to encourage you this morning that we know that, as David Kozel would say something along this lines, that when he might have said it backwards from what I'm going to say, but I'll say it this way: when Satan comes messing, God starts blessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, victory's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Satan, there will be a time, but joy will, you know, through the night, but joy will come in the morning.
Right.
And you know, the whole entire church age period was a night cycle.
Yeah.
Right.
Joy comes in the morning when the seven seals begin to be opened. God begins to do what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And brother, sister, when we see through God's eyes what he's doing, we're already being resurrected in that new day.
Yeah.
That quickening power
right. Is
already on us. And has raised us up into an eternal condition. Our body just hasn't caught up yet.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen. And so, with all that, just to want to encourage you, be still. Be still and just let God speak. Let him move. Just keep believing. Keep waiting on him.
Yeah.
Keep pressing. Keep feeding.
Yeah.
Keep fellowshipping.
Yeah.
Just keep doing those things. And stand back and watch him crush your enemies
right.
one by one, because he will do it.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
He's asking us to do the same thing he asked Abraham. Believe my promise. I'm going to do this.
Right.
And Abraham had this walk without that evidence there yet, just based on the promise of God. But if you keep walking with him and feeding on his word,
yep.
you'll watch him destroy your enemies
Amen.
One by one.
Amen.
Amen. And you shall go out. With joy.
Yeah, right.
Amen. And all the earth, eventually, with millenniums setting, and the earth will break into rejoicing and shouting and joy. And so that's this morning. That's why I title this, All Roads Lead to your eternal home. All roads lead to Christ. Everything. That doesn't make no difference what's going on in your life. As a Christian, it all brings you to Him.
Yeah,
closer
right.
and closer. We're all, you know, I was telling some people the other day about the tabernacle in the wilderness, you know, and when you're coming in on that east side, you're traveling westward. And the end result is that when you get to the west, you're going to be in the presence of God, right there in the holiest of holies. And that's a timeline. We come through all the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, and now here we are. Coming into the Shekinah glory of God. We can't go any further because we go back east. So here we are, and that's the way our lives are. As the gospel light started in the east, as you travel west, here we are. And so you know, this is it for us. This is an eternal message where God has taken John from earth, Isle of Patmos, and you know, and took him up and said, come up hither. That's what this message has done. It's
right.
elevated us up. Into the word realm, where we can see God, see the Lamb doing all these things. We see God,
right.
and so I know it's an age within an age. It's a bride age for the bride going on at the same time. Laodiceans are in Laodicea,
right.
but He's called us up higher in that. It's going on at the same time, but we already know that rapture cycle has already started in us. That's why the prophet said, when we finally realize who we are, then the rapture will go.
Right.
Because it's already here.
Right.
Right? The Lord has already descended from heaven with a shout, right? The message.
Right.
Right? With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. We've heard a trumpet.
Yes.
A message that has called us together
Amen.
For this. You
right.
see what I'm saying?
Right.
So the Lord's already done that in that way. People want to look at it in a physical form and looking for some being to come floating out of the sky. But brother, sister, this coming of the Lord to me is much greater than if I could see with this eye, see Him come in a body.
Yeah.
Right? This is much more greater.
Yeah.
The layers and depth of His revelation and how He included His people in there all the while when they didn't even realize it. He's always been there.
Amen.
Amen. And so every road of life for a believer leads him to Christ, leads you to your eternal home, leads you to the end product of what you were all along. Because His word does not go
right.
out void. Amen. No matter how bumpy the ride, all roads, no matter how bumpy, all roads of life for a believer lead you to the Lord. Amen. How many believes in miracles?
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen. I'm done. Brother Tim, come up. Even long-winded preachers, you know, we love the Lord, we love each other, and we love the joy of the Lord and the joy of being in the presence of each other. Amen? And God has, you know, shared things this morning I think would do us all good. And, you know, take it. Maybe that'll take that right hand of God and pitch those handcuffs in the trash can.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's just bow our hearts to Him for a moment. You pray in your own way. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it is so good to be in Your presence. It is so good to be with Your people. Lord, I know that each one of us, if You had not gotten in the midst of our lives, there's no telling where we would be. And I know for me, Lord, I know what my life consisted of, and I know what would be capable Satan can do in there, and how that you stopped it, Lord, and how thankful I am. But I look out and I see your people, Lord, and I know that you've done the same thing with every one of them. Different walks of life from different conditions, and Lord, you know, that because they're there in your program, you just get involved and you start bringing them in. And Lord, you're bringing us all into this one great gathering place under this trumpet sound, Lord, that we can have the atonement that you have shown here in this day, that your word, bleeding word, is atoned for your people, that you've brought forth a double measure of grace, not just grace from 2,000 years ago, but a capstone now shouting with grace, grace, double grace now, Lord, that we can have a change tabernacles. And Lord, that's what you're doing right now. In this time of the year, Lord, springtime, you know I always have expectations, Lord, that you would just take us all home. And I don't want to try and interject anything there, just saying, Lord, that it's a special time for us. And we just pray, God, that your word would become so much more alive. And Lord, if there's anyone lagging behind, if there's anyone that's got something that needs to be dealt with, Lord, just help us, Lord, each one just to deal with these things quickly and meet this next week and the time to come with expectation, Lord, because we can see your hand among us, moving us, working with us. And we love you, Lord. We ask for these blessings upon all your children. And Lord, those that are missing today, we send them with blessings as though they were here, Lord. Go to them. They're in your book. They're in our book, Lord. They're in our minds. And we love them. They're part of us. And so we pray, God, that you would bless them as they're going through things with sickness and different trials. Lord, just wrap your arms around them and bring them in. And may they experience the joy of seeing your coming, Lord, after trial. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let's all stand and worship the Lord just for a few minutes. You know, I wanted to say, I keep forgetting and I finally remembered today. So when we get through and we worship and we're singing, when I leave the platform, service is dismissed if you want it to be.
Right.
But I want you to always know you're more than welcome to stay behind and worship according to the Spirit and the desire, pray, whatever. Service doesn't have to end when I walk away, but I want you to know that when I walk away, you can be. Right? Because I don't want you to sit there and go, well, did he not close service? No, when I walk away, you know, but I want you to know that we have liberty here, that you can worship the Lord. And
amen.
Brother Tim, if he keeps playing and songs and whatever, and you want to worship, just keep doing it. Amen. God bless you.
And he's my Lord. There is no
ooh.